But I'm grateful and thankful to be here to witness it nonetheless. And then I thought, well, you know what? I want to thank God, too. I want to thank God because, you know, the old folks have a saying that God woke me up this morning. And that did not have to happen, right? So when I was driving in, you know, and I was thinking of all the people I wanted to thank, and Spirit said, well, you know, you need to thank. I said, you're absolutely right. I thank God for all of my blessings. I thank God for allowing me to be here with each of you today. And I said, you know, I'm grateful that we're all here, awakened once again to be able to face a new day, to face another day. Now, when I was coming in, I thought I could say, well, here I am. We could have the two different attitudes. You can have the attitude that says, oh, Lord, here I am having to face another day. Or we could say, you know, here I am able to face another day. Because we always have a choice as to the perspective we're going to put forth in our lives. And so this could be, you know, with all that's going on, it could be seen as another day of anxiety, stress. Oh, Lord, I've got to face this again. Or it could be, oh, Lord, I get to face this again. Thank you for waking me up this morning. You know, in the last few years, this has actually been a goal of mine, that I've been on a mission, so to speak, to awaken spiritually. Now, I've been on the spiritual journey and path for, well, almost 50 years consciously, seriously, folks. But in the last 10 years, I've had a mission to awaken spiritually. And I'm thinking, wow, I want to awaken because there is the power of the reality of the spiritual dimension that is also important. And I wrote about that as I was a contributing editor in a book that will be coming out in September entitled Our Moment of Choice. And it's put out by it's a compilation of evolutionary leaders who each have a chapter. But my chapter was on the reality of the spiritual realm and dimension as that which is really real. And so for me, this whole quest to awaken to this reality is so powerful because I firmly believe, friends, that this is going to be the only thing that will lift us up out of the entrapment of the human condition. That awakening to the spiritual reality of a realm that is beyond our human condition will be the thing that saves us. It will be the thing that lifts us out of the human condition with all of its societal ills, perhaps. And there are some great things within the human condition. But I'm talking about those things that come along with the ills of a society or inhumane experiences that humanity expresses from time to time. You know, I was thinking that we have children in cages. Not only did we separate them from their parents, a very cruel and inhumane act, but we placed them in cages and we have not necessarily taken care of them in mind, body, heart, and spirit. And not only them, but then we have their parents also, you know, living in conditions that are not suitable for any human being. And I'm thinking, wow, that's part of the human condition of being humanity's inhumaneness. And then I'm thinking about all the lower vibrations that we might succumb to that are within the human condition. Things like war and poverty and hunger. And I'm thinking, there's enough food on this planet to feed every living soul, yet there are people who are hungry. That's a result of perhaps the lower vibrations of the human condition. Greed, wanting to make sure that I get mine at the expense of you. Ideas of supremacy and domination. I must suppress your being, your freedom. And so all of these things, and I'm thinking, wow, what will move us out of that? And I believe it will be when humanity finally begins to awaken out of this sleep, awaken to this higher call of the spiritual dimension, which comes with different qualities of being, different states of being, ones that call forth generosity, compassion, connection, see, wholeness, brotherhood, sisterhood, all of these things that come with the higher dimension of the spiritual realm. And I'm thinking, yeah, it will be well when humanity awakens to its spiritual nature, to the higher call that I believe is happening right now. This is what is taking place on the planet. It's about awakening to a higher call, to a higher expression of life. And I'm thinking that if somehow you have missed this point with all that is taking place, all that we are witnessing on the planet today, all of these ills, and if somehow you have missed that, and it has not served as a wake-up call, then there's nothing that probably will awaken you. So this is a powerful time, the great time of awakening. And I am doing all I can to wake up. Now, I've made a little progress. I won't say that I'm fully an enlightened, awakened master. I've made some headway, though. The only problem is, friends, I keep falling asleep. I keep falling back to sleep. I keep getting pulled back into unconsciousness or caught up once again in the trappings of everyday living. I get caught up into, well, wait, I've got to do grocery shopping. I've got to call this one. And so I get trapped in this everyday living. Or maybe I get caught up in the trauma and drama of the day, whatever is up for that day. And I begin to lose a sense of myself once again and fall asleep. Maybe you're a bit like me that you have, you know, you've studied lots of spiritual disciplines and various spiritual practices. Or maybe you've taken lots of spiritual courses. I'm taking a couple of courses now online that I'm loving. Or maybe you've engaged in some meditation techniques or yoga techniques. Or maybe you visited an ashram where you could actually meditate for months on time and you've done that. Or maybe you've explored Ayurvedic medicine or Chinese medicine. Or maybe you've been moved to go vegan and change your diet. Maybe you're reading some powerful, transformative spiritual books that are really wonderful and that you have used them to make some great changes in your life. The whole gamut of spiritual growth and development. If you're like me, you've touched upon many of these things. And you feel pretty good about yourself from time to time until something happens that takes you off course. And bam, you're asleep once again. Right in the midst of all that reading, all that praying, all that affirming, all that manifesting, you find yourself asleep once again. And it could be the result of something somebody said. It could be the result of something that someone did. And all of a sudden, you know, you are back in an unconscious state. And all that truth that you knew, all the spiritual growth that you had, your spiritual know-how went right out the window. And you are knee-deep in being asleep. You're pushed and pulled once again by the world's happenings and events. And what I have come to realize about this process is that it's cyclical. Because what happens is, once we are asleep and once we are unconscious, usually it means that we're out of alignment with the unfolding grace of life, right? We're out of alignment. We usually find ourselves, not all the time, but if you're asleep, this is probably what will be a clue for you, that you will find yourself in some type of suffering state, what the Oneness Academy calls a suffering state. It's a consciousness, right? It means that we might be experiencing conflict in our relationships. You might be experiencing a sense of maybe depression, anxiety, anger, emotional disturbance. Something's not quite right. You have a hard time handling your life situations or your circumstances. The job's not right. Your home is not right. Something is just not right, right? And all of a sudden, when we're in this out of alignment, unconscious state, we then feel driven to seek help. When all these things, Prema Chodron says, when everything falls apart, it's a good place to be, because when it falls apart, it means you're ready to build it up again. But usually when things all fall apart, what happens is we begin to figure out, I need to put my life back together again. Something's got to change. And that at that point, we become open once again. We become open to seeking a change. We're open to some kind of spiritual remedy that can be had, and all of a sudden we're seeking, well, maybe let me pray, let me meditate, let me do the things that I know. And so we're back around to practicing our lives as a spiritual practice again. And then we go off on that. We study, we read, we pray, we meditate, and things are great, and we move along. And then all of a sudden, bam, something else happens, takes us off course, we go unconscious again, and all of a sudden we find ourselves suffering, things are falling apart, we're not managing well, we feel disconnected, until we've had enough of that. And that state, that suffering state of disconnection, anxiety, not working, unhappiness, unfulfilled, feeling, it moves us once again to seek a spiritual remedy. And it goes on and on. And I'm thinking, wow, what would it be like if I could simply just stay woke? If I could just stay awakened. Now, here's the thing. I know that the whole term stay woke, and for me, I know that it's not grammatically, it doesn't feel grammatically correct to me. It feels like I should say stay awakened. And in my spiritual self, in my high self, I know I would be saying, yes, I want to remain awakened. But I like the concept of stay woke. Stay woke. Now, I know that that phrase has lost a little bit of its popularity, that it's not, people aren't saying it as much as they used to, you know, a while back. But I like it. I like it because I think it's a perfect reminder of what we need to do in order to successfully traverse the happenings that we see on the planet right now. I think it's a great reminder of what my approach needs to be if I am going to be successful in this experience that's happening and not be exhausted by it all, because every day there's something new. And it can be overwhelming. So I like that concept, stay woke, because to stay woke means, for me, to see beyond the realm of appearances. To stay woke really means that it is the ability to not get so caught up in the outer trappings, in the outer activities. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to do what is right. We're not going to stand up, speak up, march, whatever we need to do to make change. That is fine. But not to the degree where we begin to lose our perspective. We get so caught up that we lose our perspective, or even worse, our sense of self. We lose our sense of inner grounding, so that we're out here, moving, activity, doing, that we forget to be. And you forget the grounding of your being. And all of a sudden, again, when you forget to be your beingness, your doing, this is going to wear you out. It's going to wear you out. So stay woke has very powerful implications for me. Now, I know that that phrase usually is connected to the political realm, right? We're trying to encourage each other to be politically awakened and woke to what is going on. Or maybe it's aligned with some kind of societal or social phase of life to stay woke. But I like this idea to stay woke as a spiritual call. See, stay woke is a call to political action, social action, justice, all of that. But it is also a call, a rallying cry for you to stay woke spiritually. It's a spiritual happening. Because as I said before, I believe the only thing that is going to help us maneuver through this great time of awakening, because we are in a time of awakening on the planet. But in order to help us move through that, we must stay woke. I know it's stay awakened, but we must stay woke. You see, without falling asleep, stay woke so that you will not have be unduly affected adversely by what is going on, by all of the heavy energy that's out here, because there's a lot of energy floating around in the ethers that we can all pick up on, right? And so to stay woke is to stay connected. Connected to that which will give you energy. Connected to that which feeds your spirit. Connected to those people that support you and uplift you and raise you higher. Stay connected to the thing that enables you to be strengthened in your spirit. Strengthened as you move on, press through, see? Strengthened in your doing by your being, by the strength of your being. That's very important. Stay woke. There were two major events that happened in the life of Jesus the Christ as he was trying to prepare himself for what I call his great awakening, his great transformation. And in these two events, they were right before the final event, but in these two events, as he was preparing himself and his consciousness, his three favorite disciples were with him. And the three favorite disciples, those of you who are true students know that it was Peter, John, and James. Peter, which represents faith, John and James, right? The sons of Zebedee represent love and wisdom. And whenever he was going to do something major, he always made sure he had those three disciples with him. But what is so interesting in these two stories that I want to share with you this morning is that each of them involves these disciples having their moments of being asleep. Being asleep when the moment really called for them to be awakened. And the first one takes place with Jesus, and it's called the Transfiguration. And it takes place in Luke chapter 9, verse 28 through 30. And I'll read it here. Now, he had just finished feeding the 5,000, and he's also given a declaration to anyone who would listen about his impending death and the things that were going to be coming up for him for his great awakening and his transformation. So it says, about 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up on a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white. So as he was praying, as he was in this high state of consciousness, something, his form changed. His material essence changed, and it became white, dazzling white light and energy. Suddenly, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared and began talking with Jesus. They were glorious to see, And they were speaking about his exodus from this world, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. Peter and the others had fallen asleep. When they woke up, they saw Jesus' glory and the two men standing with him. As Moses and Elijah were starting to leave, Peter, not even knowing what he was saying, blurted out, "Master, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But even as he was saying this, a cloud overshadowed them, and terror gripped them as the cloud covered them. Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." When the voice finished, Jesus was there alone. And they didn't tell anyone at the time what they had seen. Now, I like the way the Message puts it a little bit. I won't read the whole thing, but this was after Peter and the disciples, when they woke up and they came to themselves and they saw Jesus in his glory and they saw two men with him, which were Moses and Elijah. And Peter says, "Master, this is a great moment." See, they woke up. They could see beyond the veil of appearances. They saw into the spiritual realm. He said, "This is a great moment," right? He didn't even know what he was saying, but he knew, his soul knew, this was a great moment. And then, of course, he says, "Let's build these three memorials for you." And then it says this, I love this, "But while he was babbling on like this, a light radiant cloud enveloped them. And they found themselves buried in the cloud. Oh, as they found themselves buried in the cloud, they became deeply aware of God. And then the voice said out of the cloud, 'This is my son, my chosen one, listen to him.'" And I love the Message rendition because it says when they were in this cloud, first they see, but then, you know, as the Moses and Elijah begin to disappear, they hear the voice of God in this cloud. And it says they became deeply aware of God, of God's presence. So what this says to me, this whole incidence of transfiguration, is that when we were awake, because they woke up and they saw Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus, right? So what this says to me is that when we are fully awake, because it says fully awake, they could see the glory of Jesus. They could see his dazzling light. They could see his spiritual energy. They could see him in his radiant true self. When you're fully awakened, you see the beauty and the power and the presence of God right before you in all things. And they could see that in Jesus. So when we are awakened, we see differently. We see into the spiritual realm the full glory of God at work in a person, in a soul. We see the divinity, we see beauty, we see the power, right, that we could help. And then it said that when that vision began to fade and the two men disappeared, they could hear the voice of God, right? And this is called the cloud of unknowing. When you can't see, but you're fully awakened, you can still hear that inner voice. You can hear the voice of God guiding you and speaking to you. You can become deeply aware of the presence and power of God at work in your life when you are awakened. And even when you don't see with the physical eyes, but you begin to see with the spiritual eyes, you also begin to hear at a different level. This is what happens when we are awake. Now, what I find so interesting, and I thought this is so powerful in this story, is that here it is, Jesus is having what I call a consult. He's about to embark on a his greatest journey, and somehow he has manifested Moses and Elijah. So he has a consultation with them, a meeting. It says that they were talking with one another. Now, it doesn't say what they were talking about, but I said I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that conversation. I wonder what Jesus was saying. And I'm thinking, wow, he's talking to Moses and he's talking to Elijah. Now, Moses certainly had his challenges, right? He wandered around. He was sold into slavery. He had a whole bunch of stuff. His mother had to put him in the basket. He was found by Pharaoh. He wandered around in the desert for 40 years. That's a challenge, friends, okay? 40 years trying to find this promised land. He gets to see it, but he doesn't get to go into it. And then you have Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet, but Elijah started off as a really rambunctious prophet. He had to be reined in by God. And toward the end of his life, he finally is reined in by God. And he starts off, you know, he's a prophet that does a lot of shouting. But by the end of Elijah's path and journey, it says Elijah was the one who could hear the still, small voice of God. We get that aspect from Elijah. So here it is. These guys have gone through something. So Jesus is like, hey, you know, buds, listen, can you give me some pointers? I'm about to do this thing here. So can you give me some help of what I need to do? What do you think I need to do? And what do I need to be about so I can make this great overcoming? Okay, you wandered around in the desert for 40 years and you overcame that experience. You learned something. And you, Elijah, you know, you went from the shouting prophet to the one who could really hear. What do you think I need? I mean, why else would he be talking to Moses and Elijah? And I'm thinking, wow, what that says to me is that whenever we are about to face a great challenge in our lives, whenever we are about to have to wake up, you know, you get a wake-up call because life will give you a wake-up call. And when you do, what this little transfiguration says to me is that we always have support. That God will always send us that which we need to support us, to lift us up, to affirm us. We always have an opportunity for guidance and for direction and for consultation. You know, maybe it's not Moses and Elijah. We can go directly to the Spirit. But that's a powerful opportunity for us to recognize that to be transformed and to be transfigured and to go and to be spiritually awakened, we have help and support in the process, in the journey or on the journey, and that we don't have to do it alone. All right? So in this instance, Peter, John, and James, they were asleep, but they wake up. And they wake up and they see this experience, even if it was brief, it begins to fade, but they did see it. And so I'm thinking then, well, what are we doing? What are we doing to, you know, for ourselves to stay awake? So the second time, it's a little further on. Now it's getting closer to the impending experience that Jesus was having. And this time, this is the same three disciples that are with him, and he asked them to come with him to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he asked them, would they please stay with him and pray with him and watch with him, right? And so this one is found in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. And this is in the garden. And he has these three with him. Then it says, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me. He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done. Then he returned to the disciples and he found them asleep. He said, Peter, couldn't you watch with me even for 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Then Jesus left them for a second time and prayed, My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to his disciples and said, Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners, and let us be up. He says, Up, let us be going. Look, my betrayer is here. And then the message puts it this way, and I love it when he says, he goes away and he says, Peter, couldn't you stick it out with me for a single hour? Stay alert. Be in prayer so you don't wander into temptation without even knowing you're in danger. There's a part of you that is eager, ready for anything in God. But there's another part that's as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire. That's lazy, right? Because you know if it's a warm fire, a dog's going to curl up and just be there. He then left them a second time. Again, he prayed, My Father, if there's no other way than this, drinking this cup to the dregs, and I'm ready. Do it your way. And when he came back, he again found them sound asleep. They simply couldn't keep their eyes open. And this time he let them sleep on, and he went back for a third time to pray over the same ground and one last time. And when he came back, he said, Are you going to sleep on and make a night of it? My time is up. The Son of Man has to be handed over to the hands of the sinner. Get up. Let's get going. My betrayer is here. Now, the phrase that I like in this particular scripture is when he says to them, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He knew. He took them with him because he had great faith in Peter, John, and James, right? But he also knew that, yeah, they're eager, that they're great disciples, they do great work, but they have this other part, their humanity kicks in. And they become what? They're not able to stay awake, they're lazy, blah, 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 blah. They're not able to maintain it. But he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And when we say flesh in New Thought, we're talking about the body, the material realm, the physical realm, the outer world. And the flesh, you know, when our focus is solely on the flesh, the realm of appearances, it weakens us, right? When you just get all caught up in the body and not the spirit, you become weakened. He says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so he says, you know, we want to stay awake, but the pull of the world, the flesh is these worldly concepts. It's noticing what happens in the world all the time. Look what's going on. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Yeah, don't worry about that. Get behind that. Get underneath that. Get in back of that. That's where your strength is going to lie so you can transform the world, right? So what he's saying is that, you know, even though we want to stay awake, I want to stay awake, the pull of the world is strong, and it drags us back into a state of unconsciousness. But friends, here's the thing. If we are going to be able to maneuver this wonderful, powerful time in our history, in the evolutionary history of humanity, we're at a crucial point. But if we want to stay awake to it, if we want to get through it and grow through it and go through it, then to be alert and awake and able, then we're going to have to build up our capacity to stay woke. We've got to build up our capacity to stay woke. The spirit is willing, but the flesh keeps pulling us in. So what are you doing now to take care of your inner world? What are you doing to feed your spirit? What are you doing to strengthen your spirit and also, therefore, strengthen your body? to strengthen the flesh, to strengthen your activities of what you're doing in this outer world. What are you doing? How are you boosting your immune system? What are you doing to keep the spirit fed, but the body fed too? Your immune system strong, right? Because if you have a strong immune system, you can fight off whatever might be out here. Any condition, any dis-ease, right? A strong immune system helps us to do that, right? So what are we doing to keep out not only the body strong, but to keep the mind and the heart and your emotions all strong, all connected, literally and figuratively? What are you doing to bring, to promote a healthy work-life balance, especially since we've been home, many of us have been home, working from home and being at home and on Zoom, I say. I may be at home, but I've been on Zoom. I'm Zoomed out. So it's like, what am I doing to keep that work-life balance so that I can keep myself healthy and whole? Am I feeding my inner world so that I can take care of things in the outer? Am I really being disciplined to meditate? You know, the statement that goes, people say, I'm too busy to meditate. You know, I can't meditate for 10 minutes a day. And if you're that busy that you can't meditate for 10 minutes a day, the statement is, well, then obviously you need to meditate for an hour a day. If you're too busy for 10 minutes, that means you need an hour to help balance things out, to keep your inner world. Tending to your inner world is crucial at this point in time because that is what's going to fortify you. That is what's going to give you the strength to handle the outer world. So every day, do something that nourishes and feeds your inner world. Do something that strengthens your flesh in the outer world. Go for a walk. Physical exercise. Do all those other things, but you must fortify yourself so that when the time comes that we find ourselves asleep again, we can wake up a lot quicker. And the key is to notice. Notice when you are asleep. Now, you think, how can I do that if I'm asleep? How do I know I'm asleep? Because sleep will just, you know, you just go to sleep and you wake up and say, oh, I've been sleeping. But we can begin to notice some signs in our lives and in our affairs that say, you know what? You're asleep again. You're doing all this spiritual work, but you're asleep in the middle of it. So find out, how does that show up? How does your being asleep show up for you? Undue stress, feeling anxious, undue conflict. Are you arguing in your relationships, perhaps experiencing a little joy? You don't have any joy. You don't feel a sense of fulfillment or purpose or satisfaction. Something is amiss. You each, and it'll be different for each of us, but the key is to recognize the clues that will tell you you are asleep. So here's a clue. If to know you're falling asleep, we've got these three powers. The three disciples, faith, love, and wisdom, Peter, John, and James, who were with Jesus all the time and who fell asleep from time to time. So those are key areas, however. So you can tell that, let's say, faith with Peter. If you have lost a sense of faith, if all this stuff that is happening around you and you feel you've lost your faith, you're asleep. Or perhaps if you feel that you don't have any love, you don't feel you can connect to what's going on out there, your heart seems closed and you're just tired, you may be asleep. Or likewise, that goes along with this whole concept of love, maybe you find that you're not able to forgive what's happening. Forgiveness is a portion and a part of love. If you can't forgive, you're probably asleep, right? Or if you can't bless, because if you can't, let's say, bless, Jesus said we have to bless our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, that's hard to do. It's hard because we're asleep. It becomes easier when you are awakened because you see from a different perspective and there's less judgment. So with less judgment, when you find yourself being overcritical in judgment and using judgment, that's wisdom, right? That's the disciple James. And when you find that's happening, Well, you could be asleep. So look at, just take those three areas and find out if they are in balance, if you are awakened or not, because this is the time for us to be able to figure out where you are and what it is your spirit needs, because we have to increase our capacity at this point to stay woke. Stay woke. And yes, we go in and we out and in and out. But as we recognize, I'm asleep right now. Let me wake up. We can wake ourselves up. We feed ourselves good spiritual things, but we also recognize, I think I'm asleep. And that's what I'm doing. I think there's some areas that I feel I'm asleep. I need to wake up. So I need to take this into my life and figure out what I want to do and how do I want to handle it. I need to be awake over here. This situation, this circumstance has pulled me into a state of unknowing. I've got to wake up. I've got to make some conscious choices. I want to what? Stay woke. That's the whole key. So as we begin to move through this experience, it's an exciting time. And I keep talking about it because I want us to be grounded and I want us to know everything is in divine order. But we keep building our capacity up. We build our capacity to be light bearers. We build our capacity to love. We build our capacity to forgive. We build our capacity to get great insights. We build our capacity to have strength, to keep on keeping on. That's what strength is, keep on keeping on. And all of those things will help us to stay woke. And if by chance we fall asleep, we are so woke that we know we're asleep. That's when you're woke, when you know you're asleep. And you can do something about it. So this is our time, beloved ones. Let's all do our part. Let's continue to heal, to grow, to be blessed. But most of all, let's stay woke. Namaste and blessings.